God the Father, glory be. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, imploring Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Amen. I said I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess to you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your punishment, now and forever. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God to all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Introit. Blessed be the Holy Trinity and the undivided unity. Let us give glory to Him, for He has shown mercy unto us. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and earthly infants, you have ordained strength.
What is man that you are mindful of him,
and the Son of Man that you visit him?
Or you have made him a little lower than the angels,
and you have crowned him with glory and honor.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son,
and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning,
is now and will be forever.
Amen. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, and the undivided unity. Let us give glory to him, for he has shown mercy unto us. Lord, have mercy, Christ, have mercy, Lord, have mercy.
Glory be to God on high,
and on earth peace, good will toward men. We praise you, we bless you, we worship you. We glorify you, we give you thanks for your great glory. O Lord God, heavenly King, God the Father Almighty, O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, who takes away the sin of the world, have mercy. Who takes away the sin of the world, receive our prayer. Who sits at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy. For you only are holy, you only are the Lord. You only, O Christ, with the Holy Spirit, are most high in the glory of God the Father. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, having given to us, your servants, grace by the confession of a true faith, to acknowledge the glory of the eternal Trinity and in the power of the divine majesty to worship the unity, we implore you to keep us steadfast in this faith and evermore defend us from all adversities, for you live and reign, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Old Testament reading for the Feast of the Holy Trinity is from the 6th chapter of Isaiah. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the post of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal which he had taken with the tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth with it, and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin purged." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The gradual.
Blessed are you, O Lord, who beholds the deep, and who dwells between the cherubim.
Blessed are you, O Lord, in the firmament of heaven, and greatly to be praised forever.
The epistle reading is from the 11th chapter of Romans. O, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become his counselor, or who has first given to him, and it shall be repaid to him? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Alleluia, alleluia. Blessed are you, O Lord God of our fathers, and greatly to be praised and glorified forever. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the third chapter. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, You must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said to him, Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven, but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. This is the Gospel of the Lord. The Athanasian Creed, it's found on page 134. We will speak it responsibly. Whoever will be saved shall, above all else, hold the Catholic faith. And the Catholic faith is this, that we worship one God in three persons, and three persons in one God, neither confusing the persons nor dividing the substance.
For there is one person of God, another of the Son, and another of the Holy Spirit.
But the Godhead of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit is all one, the glory equal, the majesty co-eternal.
Such as the Father is, such is the Son, and such is the Holy Spirit.
The Father uncreated, the Son uncreated, and the Holy Spirit uncreated.
The Father incomprehensible, the Son incomprehensible, and the Holy Spirit incomprehensible.
The Father eternal, the Son eternal, and the Holy Spirit eternal.
And yet there are not three eternals, but one eternal.
As there are not three uncreated, nor three incomprehensibles, but one uncreated and one incomprehensible.
So likewise the Father is almighty, the Son almighty, and the Holy Spirit almighty.
And yet they are not three almighties, but one almighty. And yet they are not three gods, but one God.
So likewise the Father is Lord, the Son is Lord, and the Holy Spirit is Lord.
And yet they are not three lords, but one Lord.
For as we are compelled by the Christian truth to acknowledge every person by himself, to be both God and Lord.
So we cannot, by the Catholic faith, say that there are three gods or three lords.
The Father is made of none, neither created nor begotten.
The Son is of the Father alone, not made nor created, but begotten.
The Holy Spirit is of the Father and of the Son, neither made nor created nor begotten, but proceeding.
So there is one Father, not three fathers, one Son, not three sons, one Holy Spirit, not three Holy Spirits.
And in this Trinity, none is before or after another, none is greater or less than another.
But the whole three persons are co-eternal together and co-equal, so that in all things, as is aforesaid, the unity in Trinity and the Trinity in unity is to be worshipped.
He, therefore, and what we say, is compelled us to think of the Trinity.
Furthermore, it is necessary to everlasting salvation that he also believe faithfully the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ.
For the right faith is that we believe and confess that our Lord Jesus Christ,
God of the substance of the Father begotten before the worlds, and man of the substance of his mother born in the world.
Perfect God and perfect man, of a reasonable soul and human flesh assisting.
Equal to the Father as touching his Godhead, and inferior to the Father as touching his manhood. One, not by conversion of the Godhead into flesh, but by taking the manhood into God.
One altogether, not by confusion of substance, but by unity of person.
For as the reasonable soul and flesh is one man, so God and man is one Christ. He ascended into heaven. He sits at the right hand of the Father God Almighty, from whence he will come to judge the living and the dead.
And in whose coming all men will rise again with their bodies, and will give an account of their own works.
And they that have done good will go into life everlasting, and they that have done evil into everlasting fire. Hymn 157.
Thank you.
Our sermon text is from St. John chapter 3, verse 3. Jesus answered and said to him, "Amen, amen, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." This is our text. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. It is amazing that Nicodemus comes to Jesus at all. First of all, Jesus' forerunner, John the Baptist, had rebuked the Pharisees who came to him. He said, "Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come, therefore produce fruits worthy of repentance?" And then Jesus himself said, "Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." And later, Jesus also calls them serpents, brood of vipers. How can you escape the condemnation of hell? You see, Jesus had harsh words for works-hardened Pharisees. Surprising that Nicodemus comes at all. Second, Nicodemus was not an immoral man at all. He was not a tax collector cheating people out. He was an adulterer. Nicodemus was not playing church, nor just using his position to acquire power and wealth. Nicodemus was working hard to try to keep the law in every part of his life. Nicodemus would have been considered an outwardly moral, upright man in every sense of the term. Now, you wouldn't expect Nicodemus to even consider coming to Jesus when Jesus had said of this kind of righteousness, "For I say to you, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." Third, Nicodemus was a ruler of the Pharisees. He had been recognized by the religious community. He had been given a place on the Sanhedrin, the highest religious council. Nicodemus was in the office of ecclesiastical ruling. Today we might call him a bishop or a cardinal. Now, why would Nicodemus, who had been given the office to be ruler over the church, why would he care about the words of a Galilean lay preacher like Jesus? But he comes. And if we take his words at face value, we see that it was Jesus' miracles which had gotten his attention. The scriptures say that the Messiah was going to do miracles, and so Nicodemus is willing to give Jesus a hearing. But still somewhat guarded, Nicodemus comes at night. Oh, it's amazing, amazing that this ruler would give Jesus the title Rabbi and would call him a teacher come from God. It's amazing that he comes at all, but he comes. It's at this point, though, as soon as the discussion begins, that, well, everything falls apart from Nicodemus's point of view. Now, Jesus does exactly what a rabbi is supposed to do, a teacher come from God. Jesus preaches the truth to him to expose his false teaching, that which was keeping Nicodemus from being saved. Jesus preaches the truth of salvation through the waters of holy baptism and the new birth of the Holy Spirit and the Word. Jesus proclaims salvation through faith in the Son of God. So why do I say that everything fell apart from Nicodemus's point of view? Well, Jesus considered the doctrine of the Pharisees to be incapable of salvation. Jesus tells Nicodemus that every external moral good work which he had done was worthless as regards admitting to the kingdom of God. And finally, Jesus acknowledges that Nicodemus is a teacher of Israel, but then tells him that he doesn't even know the basic truths of how to be saved. Now, you can imagine that when Nicodemus came to Jesus, he expected to have a teacher-to-teacher talk. He expected to have, well, a little give and take on theological points. He was probably even prepared that Jesus might tell him, well, that he had a few more things he needed to do, and that, well, maybe there were some laws Nicodemus overlooked, and fine, Nicodemus would go about those. But when he got there, Nicodemus got way more than he expected. On this day, we celebrate Trinity Sunday. We profess the rather complete Athanasian Creed. We believe that there is one God, but that this one God has three persons, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. The Father is God and the Son is God and the Holy Spirit is God, but there are not three gods, but one God. Now, human nature knows none of this. The creation of the world teaches that there had to be something, some God who made it all, created this. The conscience of man teaches that the Creator is a moral being, distinguishing between right and wrong. Nevertheless, human reason cannot determine anything about the one God in three persons. In fact, human reason considers that doctrine to be the height of foolishness. So why do we confess the Holy Trinity? We confess that the Father is made of none, neither created nor begotten. We teach the Son is of the Father, not made nor created, but begotten. And we believe that the Holy Spirit is of the Father and of the Son, neither made nor created nor begotten, but proceeding. Why do we confess this? Because the Word of God clearly and emphatically teaches it. Though, well, we understand it no more than a heathen could with his human reason, nevertheless, we profess it. We profess that it is true because God teaches it in His Word that it is true. The triune God instructs us in His Word, and we believe it. Now, when we look at this exchange between Nicodemus and Jesus, we see the conflict between the religious opinion of human reason and the truth of God's holy word. Human reason, perfectly capable to decide in matters of this world, but it is utterly incapable of understanding and coming to spiritual truth. Human reason is designed for those things which the human senses can perceive, but when it comes to the knowledge of God and religious truth, it is the Word of God alone which is the means which God has provided to teach us. This battle between human reason and the Word of God is not new. It's been going on from the beginning. God gave the word to Adam and Eve. The serpent directed them away from the word of God to human reason. The word said, "On the day that you eat of it, you will surely die." Human reason gathered up some research from its senses. And Genesis 3:6 says, "So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate." You see, human reason is incapable of making judgments in spiritual matters. Human reason doesn't know the triune nature of God, and it doesn't know the difference between damnable sin and salvation. It doesn't even know how man is saved. So let's take a look at John 3 and that exchange. The very first thing that Jesus tells Nicodemus is this: "Amen, amen, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now, human reason determines that salvation is to be achieved by the law. It thinks that man becomes righteous by doing righteous things. But Jesus completely rejects this works righteousness and says that salvation comes by becoming someone completely different. nothing which is done by the first birth is of any use in acquiring salvation. Man needs a new birth. He must be given a new birth. He must become a completely different person with a different understanding, different thoughts, different mind, and a different heart. Now, as a Pharisee, Nicodemus had embraced this pagan philosophy of human reason. He tried to apply it. So he collected the words of God, the laws of God, and he went to great efforts, as all Pharisees did, to try and keep it. And Nicodemus proudly thought that he was saved by his good works. But by these first words, Jesus tells him that no matter how people are or live by nature, they are damned and under sin. The Pharisees. Now, the Pharisees often debated. They debated the laws of God. How many works do you have to do in order to be saved? And then when one law required cleanliness, but another required loving your neighbor, so which one do you do? If your son fell in a hole on the Sabbath day, do you keep the Sabbath? Or do you love your, or you pull him out? What do you do? In the secular legend of the Gordian Knot, 333 BC, Alexander the Great was presented with a knot so tightly entangled that it was impossible to untie. But the legend said that whoever could solve it would be ruler of all Asia. So rather than engage in the useless wranglings of many other unsuccessful competitors, Alexander steps back and slices through the knot with his sword, a single stroke of his sword, situation solved. With the stroke, I tell you, of one sentence, Jesus completely renders the basis for the entire Pharisaical righteousness irrelevant. You must be born again. By his word, all works righteousness simply unravels and falls to the ground. Strike one. Though Nicodemus came seeking the truth, he's appalled. He's appalled at Jesus' answer. Still clinging to his human reason and his senses, he laughingly tries to show how Jesus' answer is ridiculous. Can an old man be born again? Can you enter a woman a second time and be born? From Nicodemus' perspective, Jesus' words are illogical and contradictory. Nevertheless, Jesus does not back down in the least. Jesus restates his point, and Jesus clarifies that the new birth is a spiritual birth, and the means of acquiring this birth comes from the Holy Spirit, who works through holy baptism. John 3:5, Jesus answered, "Amen, amen, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Nicodemus' human nature is completely unaware of this spiritual birth, which gives a man a new heart and mind. So once again, Jesus completely strips Nicodemus of his pride concerning outward morality. Oh yes, others may have praised Nicodemus for his righteous living. They may have thought that a life of good works was worthy of great honor before men and God. Yet Jesus speaks of a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Whatever flesh of Nicodemus had accomplished, it is not good enough. The Spirit gives birth to spirit. We cannot trust in our works. We can never trust in our works. Whether the works were done before while we had only our ignorant human nature, even our works which are performed after we are born again and become a Christian, we should not trust in them. God's work or good works were never intended to be the object of our faith and trust. The object of faith is clearly revealed by the Word of God to be Jesus Christ and his work of salvation on our behalf. So So John 3, 14 to 7. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world would be saved through him. With the second slash of the word of God, Jesus removes all human works from the realm of trust and presents the Spirit's work in holy baptism, in which believers are united with the Christ, the Son of God. Holy baptism is God's work, which places believers in the kingdom. For Nicodemus, strike two. Last of all, Jesus shows Nicodemus the source of his error. Jesus says, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and do you not know these things?" Oh yes, Nicodemus has the office of being a spiritual teacher of spiritual things, but he's engaged in fleshly conclusions based only on human reason. Human reason, incompetent in the spiritual realm. So Jesus directs Nicodemus to be taught by God and by the pastoral office. Jesus said, "Amen, amen, I say to you, we speak what we know and we testify what we have seen, and you do not believe our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man who is in heaven." Nicodemus has two authorities that agree, and they testify against Nicodemus. Jesus is God himself come down from heaven. Now, human reason is not qualified to contradict the witness of God's Son who came down from heaven. I mean, the gall of human reason to think that it could teach God a few things. And second, the pastoral office of teaching clings to the Word of God as the final arbiter in spiritual matters. It is for the conscience and the salvation of the soul. Nicodemus, yes, he is in the office, but he is not using the tools of the office, the Word of God. So Jesus directs Nicodemus, the teacher of Israel, to John the Baptist, the one who wielded the Word of God and declared the truth to the people, even to scribes and Pharisees. You see, Jesus and John preached the same doctrine concerning holy baptism. They told the Pharisees to repent of their works righteousness and bear fruits worthy of repentance. He's in the office, but he's not using the word. Strike three. Nicodemus brought everything he had to the plate, but his human reason had blinded him. One, he was a Pharisee. Two, he was an outwardly moral man. And three, he was the ruler of the Sanhedrin. But none of these things would admit to the kingdom of God. Nevertheless, Nicodemus had one thing going for him. He was seeking the truth. In front of him was Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus was the promised teacher come from God. He was the rabbi. Indeed, he was God himself. This teacher, Nicodemus, and his reasonable works righteousness would not admit. Nicodemus was called out on three strikes. And so Jesus, the truth, told him he would need to leave it all behind. He would need to receive the free gift of salvation. Jesus was offering a new birth of water and the Spirit. It comes through the water and the Word. This new birth would provide everything which Nicodemus sought. Through this teaching, he was to receive. It's offensive. Everything about it is offensive to human reason. But it was the truth. And this treasure is as real and certain as the doctrine of the Holy Trinity. It is founded on the testimony of God himself in the Word. Jesus forgives sins. He gives a new birth in water and the Word. Whoever believes in Jesus will not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We continue with the offertory. It's found on page 143. We stand.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Almighty God, everlasting Father, we give you thanks that you have revealed yourself to us in love by creating us in your image, by directing heaven and earth for our preservation. You revealed yourself as love by sending your Son for us and for our salvation. And you have revealed yourself with love by sanctifying us in the waters of holy baptism. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
O Lord, separate your church from all who do not acknowledge the Holy Trinity as the one true and living God, that we might share in your eternal glory, be delivered from error and its paths which lead to death. Use our confession of the truth to bring the lost and erring to the new birth of water and the Spirit, so that Jesus has lifted us. We ask that all pastors in Christ, James, our bishop, our pastors, Michael and Gary, that they would guard and defend scriptural teaching and practice, that all congregations may be one, as the triune God is one. Bless our director, Keeley, our teachers, staff, and the children enrolled in our center. Let us pray to the Lord. We commend to your care our President, Donald, our Governor, J.B., our Mayor, Steve, as well as the civil servants and the police of this community, that those who have been entrusted with community affairs may administer them in good faith. Grant that they would make, judge, and enforce our laws with integrity and clarity of mind, and that they would recognize their responsibility to you, the one from whom all authority stems. Use your established servants in the government to maintain law and order, and in addition to punish those who harm life and property. Protect those who serve in the armed forces, especially we remember Timothy, Danny, Jason, Blake, and Jake, as well as our police officers, Daniel and Alex, that they may diligently carry out their duties and be protected from all harm and danger. We also remember the courts of our land, that all judges will apply our laws with impartiality and thus contribute to peace and stability throughout the nation. Uphold those who are suffering under the affliction and hardship caused by the coronavirus with the consolation of your grace, and support them with the help of your might. Be gracious in allowing illness so that physical sickness may be a spiritual medicine for those who are ill. Give to them strength of faith and patience, O truest physician of souls and bodies. Restore them to their former health, provided that it is advantageous to their eternal salvation. Let us pray to the Lord. Be with our shut-in Rachel, our elderly Violet and Verdell. Provide for the needs of Priscilla, Caitlin, Jade, Kevin, Gibb, Linda, Rick, Patty, Rebecca, Victor and Marcia, Tony, and Mike. Let us pray to the Lord. O Lord, Heavenly Father, we here remember the sufferings and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Praising his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our own high priest. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us, for to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Page 144. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
Give thanks to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord. Our God, it is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, who with your only begotten Son and the Holy Spirit are one God, one Lord. In the confession of the only true God, we worship the Trinity in person and the unity in substance of majesty co-equal. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he, blessed is he, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest.
Lord of heaven and earth, we praise and thank you for having had mercy on those whom you created, sending your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament,
which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
O Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. O Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. O Christ, the Lamb of God,
let the Lord take into your body.
Israel, for he hath scattered all.
for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled to serve you constantly. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and